Hello, and welcome to this podcast hosted by River Canard. In this episode, I welcome Dan McGuire and Jennifer Davis as we discuss their business, Joe Zeppi's. We talk about the hardships of being a food truck, what the culture of their food means to them, and what their plans are going into the future. We appreciate you for listening. Just start with a couple, few basic questions here, but how are you measuring success for your business? For Joe Zeppi's and the Chow food truck, you know, what are things that you're specifically looking for, and what are things that you'd like to avoid?
Sure. So I think we're looking for kind of like recognition in the way that, like, you know, there's some food trucks around that people automatically know, and we're definitely looking to be one of them. You know, we're looking to be on the top of people's minds when they mention things like pizza in the area, or when they mention Italian food in the area. You know, other than the financial aspect, of course, you know, we're kind of looking to have people know about us and just be on people's minds and on people's tongues, you know, like talking about it and saying, like, hey, you got to try this. Like, you have to, you know, whenever someone's asked about the best pizza in the area, like, we're like the first answer, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, for sure. It definitely makes sense. But on like a, I guess like on the local scale, obviously, is kind of what y'all are looking for right now. When you kind of see those responses, when you see somebody talking about Joe Zeppi's or Chow, how does that make you feel? You know, obviously, it's got to be a great experience.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It makes you feel like you're doing something right. You know, it kind of what's the word? It's an affirmation, you know. It definitely makes you have the idea that the work is not for nothing. If that makes sense. It just kind of justifies all of the time and energy we put into it.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. It's like, as somebody who's not a business owner, that's like definitely something that I would be looking for as well. And I guess kind of like continuing on that, like, who are your main competitors right now, if you have any? You know, not like in a antagonistic way, but people that you are actively competing with so that you can have a better product.
Yeah, no doubt. A couple of the local, you know, pizza places in the area for the Chow truck. Kind of like, they're not, none of them are really like, nobody really makes our style of pizza. So we don't have any direct competitors in that aspect, but some like the local chains, like things like Crazy Carl's, you know, and that with their, you know, wacky, crazy topping and sauce combinations, which is just something we don't do, you know. And if that's what people are looking for, then that's great. That's what they should get, you know. But for just, you know, regular straight up pizza, that's one of our main competitors. Fast food pizza, you know, trying to get people off of that. Things like Domino's, Papa John's, Black Jack, Little Caesars. You know, they're definitely one of our main competitors. Just trying to show people what quality is like instead of, you know, $4 pizza. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are a couple of, on the Joe Zeppi side of things, there's one or two other food trucks in the area that make similar style food that I wouldn't necessarily call it direct competition, but they are in the same market as us. So they are, you know, naturally a type of competitor. And then, you know, a few local restaurants as well who are able to be more present, you know, because they're open 7 days a week and they have a, you know, a stationary location. They might offer takeout or delivery and that kind of thing. So that would be a competitor as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kind of in that same light, you know, what are things that you guys are doing to make your business seem more unique, you know, kind of stand out amongst all those competitors?
Primarily quality, I would say. Primarily quality and authenticity would be, I think, our number one and number two things. Trying to bring a little bit of like that culture aspect that we've spoken about several times, you know, trying to have a little bit of more of that incorporated into it than some of our competitors do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely think you guys are doing a good job of that, you know, especially compared to fast food pizza places and, you know, fast food Italian restaurants like Olive Garden and stuff.
No doubt.
So kind of like, what are you guys working on now? You know, what are your next steps going into 2024 and kind of like the next 12 to 15 months?
Sure. So, it's funny that you mentioned that, because like right now, like we're going into like what you kind of refer to our like our off season, and we're one like Giuseppe's is going to shut down for the winter. It's going to be after next week. It's done until March. So as we Chow will continue to go through the winter, but just it's like regular obligations and like brew standing breweries and stuff like that. So like our next steps really are. We look to summer, you know, we look to next season, we look to what events are in the area, what events are we gonna try to get into, what events are we gonna try to be a part of, what are we gonna try to avoid for that matter, you know, what relationships do we want to continue to grow, what relationships maybe didn't work out and we don't need to pursue anymore. So that's kind of the next like 6 months, and then 12 to 15 months. You know, there is a little bit of uncertainty, kind of, you know, depends. We don't know what's happening with like the economy and stuff, right? You know, there is a little bit of uncertainty at the moment in that we don't know how what kind of budget people are going to have for food, you know, in the next few months. But so there, you know, that kind of is a bit of a teeter-totter, but if all goes well, we would like to look to maybe expanding into a, you know, a brick and mortar location or expanding one of the trucks perhaps.
For sure. Like kind of like how do you see that kind of going down? You know, will you just go straight from truck to brick and mortar, or will it kind of be a process of gonna keep the truck for a while and then eventually slowly but surely kind of integrate into brick and mortar and
That,
kind of okay.
you know, keep, yeah, keep definitely, you know, we would, even if we were to open a brick and mortar tomorrow, we would still keep the trucks going. So it would be like a process of integrating that into a, you know, a brick and mortar aspect. And then while we would keep, you know, our trucks and use them as a marketing tool as well for that location.
Yeah, so kind of like along those lines, what kind of like organizational challenges have y'all had, it just speaking 2023 wise, in terms of getting events and making sure your name is out there, that kind of stuff?
So organizationally, I mean, we've been fortunate with staff, but that's always difficult, right? You know, scheduling, making sure everybody's happy, you know, kind of accommodating different schedules and wants and needs. Also, most, I will say most event planners in the area are pretty good. There are a few that are very spotty with communication. And that was definitely an organizational challenge when, like, you don't know if an event is confirmed or not because they're not answering emails and phone calls and text messages and stuff like that. So there's an element of uncertainty. You're like, well, we talked about this once, but I haven't heard from you since, so I've got no idea what's happening. So there, that aspect of organization has been difficult sometimes. There were some big events where I'm sure that whoever's responsible for scheduling has a thousand things going on. And, you know, food trucks probably isn't the number one thing on top of their mind. However, you know, when scheduling and booking is a really important aspect for us and we don't have a concrete answer or a date or confirmation, a timeline, that's very difficult for us because we don't know what we're doing, you know?
And would you say that like this is a common thing among the organizers in Larimer County, or is this just kind of like a one-off type of deal?
It's not a
it's not a regular occurrence. It happens often enough to be a pain in the butt, but it's not, you know, it's definitely it's not the norm, if that makes sense.
Yeah, don't expect, you know, to go to an event and it be unorganized, you know. Typically they're fairly organized, you know, you might want more answers than you're getting, but they're typically fairly organized, I'd say.
And I would say like one of the hardest parts with these events is logistics on their end, because a lot of times like you'll show up and there's multiple food trucks and no one knows where to park, you know, no one knows, you know, exactly what time they want us open, where to park, where to put your generator, that kind of thing. So and I mean that's part of the game though, and that's just kind of something that you deal with, but that is it's a logistical challenge nonetheless.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's definitely got to be pretty frustrating. Like when that kind of challenges arise, because there's nothing you guys can do to control it.
Correct.
So I guess kind of like continuing that, how do you advertise the food trucks and how do you, put yourselves out there for these businesses and stuff? Is it through like Google or kind of like social media?
We
Yeah, so and getting people to our website. So I don't, we don't pay for any kind of like Google, right? We don't pay for like any
No,
SEO, like,
no advertising.
no advertising. Our website service that we use has some SEO integrated into it, so we kind of, rely on them, but that's just part of the service that we utilize. But social media is 97% of it, I would say. The other 3% is like flyers, word of mouth, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. And do you typically find that you get better engagement during your events or kind of like in the busy seasons like summer?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. We get people like, oh, I saw your post, and so I want to try that pizza that was on your Facebook today or whatever.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, you definitely see, especially for Chow, quite a bit of engagement that way. It was like we saw that you were here today. It's actually, it's a really nice thing. Like we said, Chow is primarily brewery and event truck. When the breweries advertise for us as well, we see a lot of engagement that way. We see a lot of, like, oh, we saw on their Instagram that you were here today, and that's great. That's big for us.
Yeah, no, that's got to be like definitely exciting to see kind of as you grow your business. Kind of in a similar light, but what is the culture like behind Giuseppe's and Chow Pizza? How many employees do you guys have, and are they all from Colorado or are they kind of from back home in New York?
So it's a tight culture, no doubt. And it's like kind of a family affair. So all in all, we have during season we have three full-time employees, not including ourselves, and then one or two part-times that kind of help out here and there. One of our full-time employees is Jen's mother, so it is a family affair in that sense. She works on the Chow truck. She's like our front of house point person. The other two guys, one of them is from Texas, the other one is from Illinois, the Chicago area, and both of them actually worked for me in Vail when I was the executive chef of one of the restaurants on there. And so we were able to maintain a good enough relationship after I had left that area and they had left that area for them to want to come here and work with us moving forward. So it's a tight culture because we know we've all worked for each other. We've all worked with each other for quite a bit. We all know each other's kind of personality styles, their nuances with the
Their
way that they were
families.
their families, literally, like our guy's wife, their parents, that kind of stuff. And then our part-time people, like they're great. Like they, we know them through other aspects of our life. Like one of them plays pool with me on Mondays. The other one's the son of an associate of ours. Like, so it's a pretty tight-knit culture, and we all we keep a pretty open line of communication, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that definitely sounds like a good environment. You don't have too many people coming in to where it's kind of gets confusing and difficult to do things, but at the same time, you have enough people who understand the goal and what you guys have in mind.
And it's important to us to keep, to kind of have a really good positive culture. Both Jen and I have been in the restaurant industry our entire life, and restaurant work can lend itself naturally to a toxic culture. And it's really important to us that we shift that. Like restaurants are infamously bad with culture, between bad attitudes, negativity, hostility, that kind of thing. And that is one aspect of this industry that we really want to flip on its head.
No, that definitely sounds like something that you guys both care about, and it is exciting to kind of see how you guys will shape that, especially here in Larimer County.
No doubt.
kind of continuing on that, you spoke earlier about how this is about to be your down season. What will you be doing between now and next summer to make improvements on your truck, make things easier for you guys, just slice of life things that'll make your business run smoother?
Sure, yeah. So this is a huge planning season, you know, like I mentioned, you know, kind of figuring out what events you want to be a part of. We will be doing some repairs on trucks, like little maintenance things. Deep cleaning will be a big part of it, especially for Giuseppe's as it goes to bed for the season. You know, trying to get it back to like almost like a brand new status, so that as it sits, it doesn't age. If you know what I mean. We're gonna probably take a vacation, as we really freaking need it. Let me tell you,
sure.
Probably in January. So that's a big part for us to kind of like recharge, relax. You know, it's also like a regrouping phase too, where we analyze this past season. We take a look at it. We see what worked, what didn't, what was popular, what sold, what didn't sell, what combination of staff worked best where. What tasks certain people were able to take on well, and what tasks certain people were able to not take on well, and, you know, kind of shifting duties, responsibilities, that kind of thing for next year.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that all sounds like very important steps that need to be taken. Obviously, making sure your truck is in good shape is like essential for a business that runs on wheels. And I guess kind of like following up from my last question here, so as you go through this off season and then next summer, do you plan on like going to a brick and mortar by 2025, or what exactly are your career steps following the next off season and 2024 summer?
You know, we have to wait and see. I'm really intrigued to see what the next 9 months look like in terms of the economy. I try not to pay too much attention to the news because it all gets blown out of proportion. But I really want to see, like, you know, I was in the restaurant industry back in 08, like when there was the Great Recession, if you will, and the way that changed people's eating habits, the way that changed people's dining habits, the way that changed their spending habits. So there is a bit of uncertainty, you know, in the future, and we kind of got to wait and see what people are going to be willing to spend their money on. So that's kind of, a big part of the next steps, if you will. In a perfect world, yeah, I'd love to be in brick and mortar by 2025. Like, that would be phenomenal. Rarely does that ever work out.
If things were to, you know, and like you said, in an ideal world, if things were to go well, continue going well, I think, you know, we would love to.
We'd like to be. That would be great.
Be in a brick and mortar by 2025.
But we're definitely not going to count those chickens, you know, yeah. No doubt. Like, you know, there's.
No, yeah, that definitely makes sense. Well, those are all the questions I have today. So thank you both. And that's it.
Thank you for listening to this interview with the owners of Giuseppe's, Dan McGuire and Jennifer Davis. We sincerely appreciate them for coming on the podcast.